It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención, class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more, that's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause them churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never
Dr.
take a deficit.
Fernandez.
Yeah, that means you take a loss.
He's jamming out to the song.
You get that understanding.
Yeah, she was like,
every day. Apply what you learn.
I remember just looking at her in the screen. She was like,
it's one interpretation, man, it's say what it say. Gaben el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelita, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history is the learn, it's the power hour. You learn hour. Tune in to your history, learning history, power hour. You learn hour. You don't know your true history, love hour, power hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I'm Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Ishaya.
Officer Tobias.
All praises to the Most High.
And we make up the Power Hour Plus. Nah, that's because I was watching Four Corners Views, so they say that all the time.
Do they?
Yeah.
And we make up Four Corners.
For everything, it's like...
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's like... A Voltron.
Way back.
For, so they're about to go on break.
We'll form the legs. I'll form the arms.
Come on.
They're
man.
About to go
and
to break.
I'll form the head. Voltron.
They're about to go on break, and we'll be back with Four Corner News. And then they come back on and. Hey, welcome back to Four Corner News. So I was watching this.
I guess everybody got their call sign or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, right, because patients say they go radio.
Yeah. You got what a beacon I found with it's the Hidden History. He's got his own little exit, too.
Everybody got their own little thing there. Yeah. Nah, I keep it straight.
Hey, y'all can't y'all can be going in on them. They might stop shouting us out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Hey, I'm being nice. I said everybody got their thing.
Right.
That's true.
I said everybody got their thing. They not in the spirit if they stop shouting us out. All praise to the Most High. We back for another episode. A lot of stuff been going on.
Mm.
Mm, a lot of stuff been going on.
Crazy weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been feeling, I was thinking before the show, I said, I feel like there's like a backlog of topics that I've been wanting to go over, which is good. It's better than not having
right
something to come up with. I know you guys got to get better at that stuff because.
So what?
You know what I was thinking about? Our officers are 50 here. They need to be like we shouldn't always have to do a replay. Like if I can't make the show, like I was thinking about how Fix Your Face gets coverage.
Right.
You know how some of the other shows get the coverage.
That's above me.
Officer Yari will pick up, you know, he used to pick up Deacon Lava's spot. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like.
Right.
Yeah.
My 50s over here. I told them like once or twice how I might not be able to do the show. Hey, can y'all hold down the show? You gotta be ready to jump on it, man.
Hey, right. Can I do the power hour in Spanish on Wednesday?
2 hours? You gonna hold it down for 2 hours?
I
in
got
Spanish?
The book. What's it called?
Okay.
The War Against All Puerto Ricans in Spanish, bro. Mm-hmm. That thing is so bad, bro.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Oh,
the War
man.
Against All Puerto Ricans is a good book.
Yo.
Oh, someone said we should be like Power Hour plus.
Nah.
No, see, if I did it now, it would feel gimmicky. Yeah.
Hell no.
Like, I think that has to come organically. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
So they probably did it and it worked. So
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they just went with it. So I don't know. I gotta be organic. I can't. I don't roll like that.
Right.
I don't want to push it.
All praises.
Oh, man. All praise to the Most High. So, let's see how I want to approach this. I don't know if I want that one. So what else did I give you in regards to this topic?
You gave a whole plethora.
That's the replacement theory. Yep, that's why genocide conspiracy theory. What do we got? We're going to talk. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll start with the video. Let me see what else we got first. So we're going to talk about this Buffalo shooting.
Mm.
But it's not really about the Buffalo shooting. Mm-mm. Like, that's just a catalyst for me to bring out, like, what?
The real deal. The real behind.
Yeah, you know, and if you were here in Phoenix, I did touch on this on New Moon.
Right.
All right, we're on the West Coast, so basically by the time we start, class is over on the East Coast.
Yes.
So we usually have to do our own thing over here as far as a class is concerned, just because it's 3-hour difference, right? So, you know, class starts at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't get rolling here till about 8:30 sometimes, our time. So they already basically done. That's 3 hours already.
Yeah.
So we do a little class here on the New Moon, and I went over some of this lightly. I didn't get to bring out all the articles and stuff I wanted to because I was trying to keep it brief so we can feast. So if you were here in Phoenix, some of this might sound familiar. Some of the stuff I didn't get to go to will be there. And obviously we'll be able to talk about it with commentary now. So... okay, so
wait, do you guys have the proper time for that? Because I think I moved it.
I wanted it like at 4. Yeah, it should be like at 4. Yep. Okay. What other articles we got? Hold on, let me see. Okay. Yeah, that'll be after the fact. Okay, let me see what else we got. Okay, that's later too. What is this? Scroll down. We might watch her thing. Let's see what else we got. Right. Okay. Oh, yeah. I think that, scroll down. I think that one is one of the main, is that the PBS one? Yeah. Okay. So that's good. We're not going to start with that, though. Yeah. We're going to go to that after we talk about the Buffalo shooting. Okay. What else we got? Oh, yeah. We got to mention that. Because
yes.
I'm sure somebody's going to hop in today talking about who the hell are these light-skinned guys.
Right.
Right. Someone put a comment a couple of weeks back. The scepter should not depart from Judah. Judah's the lawgiver. Why are they teaching?
You funny.
Why aren't you teaching?
Yeah, good question. Very good question.
Get out of here, man. It's 7:13 over here in Arizona. We got a 3-hour difference. And then I think it's 2 hours in the fall. But then after they do it again next year, like, that's it. Like, there's no more daylight saving.
I was going to say, didn't they change it and it's going to remain?
Yeah, 2023. Like so we got one more cycle.
Okay. And
so,
it's going to be 3 hours ahead?
So it's going to...
Always?
We're going to be 3 hours always.
Dang.
Yeah, I kind of like the 2 hours. I don't know about the three.
That's a long time.
They should have left us. Well, I don't know if we're going to stay... Yeah, I don't know if we're going to stay on Mountain or Pacific.
Arizona's got its. This is Arizona,
right? Because we don't do the time change. Right. See, ESA just complicates stuff with this.
Yeah,
DS.
Man. Because it's like we have meetings. Everything is East Coast.
Yeah.
So when we have meetings, it's like, oh dang, 3 hours ahead.
Yeah.
Dang, bro, that's like 3 hours, bro.
So yeah, it'll be like one more year of the daylight savings, and then we'll always be 10 p.m. Eastern after that. So we got listeners in the Bahamas, 10:13 in the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah. Praises.
I don't know, man. I'm in bed like 10:30.
Yeah.
Or at least on the couch, knocked out at 10:30.
So,
if it's not in the bed, at least the couch, you know, I'm knocked out. So, I don't know. I guess when I was younger, I used to watch the late shows and all that stuff like that. I would stay up. So I guess we're the late show for a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're the late show. We're probably the last show most people will watch. So
pretty much.
Okay. All right. Praise the Most High. Oh, I guess some people were thinking it was 10 o'clock for us. Nah, man. Imagine that coming in at 10.
No, you know who also too?
Captain Shem teaches pretty late.
Yeah, Captain
Shem
teaches
pretty late.
Captain Shem.
Precept upon precept.
Yeah, he teaches. He starts pretty late. Like his time, it's actually late his time.
Yeah.
When he starts, but all right.
I think it's kind of like the same time zone or time block as us. Or an hour ahead, something like that. But it's Captain Shem is also one of the ones that goes out.
Sister Tamara. Am I saying it? It's Tamara, right? Not, I know some people say Tamara. Sister Tamar, all praises. She wakes up to watch the show. All praises to the Most High. Definitely appreciate the support.
All praises.
All right, before we jump in, we're going to talk about this stuff, right? And we're going to talk about this perpetual hatred that Esau has. And listen, I said this when I was doing the class here. Maybe if you're repenting already, you're kind of hip to some of this. But, you know, we get people that pop in and they'll see the show that aren't repenting yet. And it's important that this type of information comes out, right, and that it's understood. And also, depending on where you are on your walk, maybe it hasn't really
hit you like that.
So we're going to talk about some of that, and we're going to see the biblical purpose behind it all. Let's not forget to donate to the Booster Club.
That's right.
We have Mission 37 in progress. All right. There you have Deacon Isaac and Captain Gedaliah been out in Ghana going on a month. A few more days, it'll be a month that they've been out there. So we've been doing month rotations. The plan is to try to do month rotations out there.
All praises.
In Africa. Lord's will, Northern Kingdom builds up to that. Right now we're doing our monthly. Well, so we got the border missions, which are like not necessarily overnight stays.
No, those are like a weekend, right. Once a week.
Yeah,
once a month. Sorry.
Yeah, once a month, little, right? And then also once a month, we're either hitting DR or PR to support the brothers and sisters that are there, right?
That's right.
Meaning Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, all right? And Biden finally rolled back the Trump era changes to Cuba.
Let's go.
So you saw Bishop highlighted Cuba as one of the trips that we did because it was a powerful one. You know, it was an impactful one.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see from that little clip the masses were there. I'm telling you, we set up and they just came. They were coming out the houses and everything. So we were waiting for those restrictions to drop for Cuba.
Hey,
it was announced. Go ahead.
I saw this picture. I should have posted it for you because you bring out Cuba.
Uh-huh.
It had the U.S. security cameras, Canada security cameras, but like Puerto Rico and Cuba, it just had like the grandfathers and grandmothers like sitting outside because they see everything.
Mm-hmm.
I should have posted it up because you said like people coming out of the house, like from what I can see on pictures.
Oh.
You got a lot of them that be on the patio.
Yeah, you should have found it. That's exactly how it was.
If I find it, I'm going to post it.
And then we were very specifically, like it was a park. They called it El Parque de Wifi.
Wow.
Yeah, because like, you know, it's not like here where internet's a given in your home.
Right.
So there was like a park where they would basically go and they would get Wi-Fi in the vicinity of that park.
Gotcha.
So it was a pretty good area as far as that's concerned because a lot of them were there to jump on the Wi-Fi.
Right.
And you know, and then there was obviously shops and things around. But anyway, Cuba is back on the docket, Lord's will. And we were also looking, I saw some pictures for some of the camp spots for Ecuador. It looked pretty good, bro.
Yeah,
it got me excited.
Yo,
it looked good. Like they were doing a flyer mission out there. We got like a couple brothers out there. I think they were doing a flyer mission.
Did,
it looks pretty good.
Didn't Captain Abiel went out there? Or was it? No, that was Peru.
No, Panama. I think he stopped him. I don't know if he stopped
there's
in Panama.
There's one where he did a camp, bro. I was like in awe.
Yeah,
they,
there,
bro,
was, there was one trip
sister,
a few years back.
The sister spit on him, bro. I was like,
yeah.
What, bro?
Yep. So, no, the thing is we've been juggling which one we want to go. You know, there's limited resources, mm-hmm. Which brings me full circle back to my point. The reason I'm saying all that is that don't forget to support the Booster Club, all right? They just came back from Jamaica. IUIC.fundraising@IsraelUnite.org. Traveling was booming prior to COVID. Like, we were hitting a lot of places. There was a lot of trips coming up. Now that, you know, some of these restrictions are dying down, we're going back out, right? We're hitting the countries, and, you know, we're doing what needs to be done. So you'll see that along the streamer in the bottom of your screen. Donate to the Booster Club, IUIC.fundraising@IsraelUnite.org. Also, if you'd like to call in, 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797, and you can call in questions or comments about the show. And don't forget to support the Phoenix pages, all right, at IUIC Phoenix, all right? You have Instagram up there, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, and I know many of you might be watching us on the IUIC in the Classroom YouTube. Hop on over to the Phoenix one when we're done, or pull it up in a separate tab right now,
right,
and just subscribe and like, and then you can pop back here and watch. You know, some of you might be watching on IUIC TV, go ahead, get on your phone, like and subscribe, all right? It'll definitely be appreciated.
Saw how fast the viewers got up on a Sabbath when they did it for
when they
TikTok.
Did the TikTok. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So let's not be complacent with that.
We went to like 2,000 subscribers the last time I checked in like a matter of 10 minutes, bro. We have power.
Right.
We have power when we come together.
But we're still stuck on 11 and a half on Phoenix.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Let's go. Anyway, let's jump right into this. We're going to start with this clip from Indisputable with Dr. Rashard, all right? And he's going to point out some things here about the spirit of this man. Let's get Romans 13 and 11 like I did when I opened this up the other day. Romans 13 and 11. Because I see things like this pop off and things like this happen, and I'm like, man, you know, we got to make sure that we highlight these things for a reason. Yeah, it's another Edomite, you know, killing and stuff like that. But, you know.
Another terrorist.
Another mass murderer, right? Edomite, who the world erroneously calls white people.
Mm.
All right? Let's get this, Romans 13 and 11.
The book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Right, because we're seeing, you know, it's like things are cyclical here, especially in America. And when we get into the replacement theory, you're going to understand that it's not uniquely American, that it's worldwide with Esau. And what's significant about this is that all these little events that you see are opportunities for us to look at it spiritually, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, another mass killing, oh, this and that. What drives the intent behind that? Mm-hmm. And very specifically now, recently with these mass shootings, they're speaking a lot about what they call replacement theory, right? Mm-hmm. And I forgot, I'm going to look it up while we watch the video and then shoot it to you guys to look it up. I forgot to post it prior to the show. I just want to confirm that it does in fact say that. But there's something heavy spiritually about replacement, mm-hmm. right? Especially as it pertains to the, I don't even want to say a power struggle, but I'll say the dynamic between Jacob and Esau, meaning us, so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Indigenous, those who meet the curses in the scriptures, and Esau, who's the so-called white man. There is, while the majority of them don't know what they're saying when they say replacement theory, right. I'm going to tell you something right now. They actually are correct. Biblically, they are correct when they say they're afraid of being replaced.
Yes.
All right? And Lord's will, we're going to show that today. But read this again.
The book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Right, knowing the time, knowing that these things are being revealed to us, knowing that we're living in prophetic times, now is the high time to awake out of sleep, right? Meaning we need to be alert. We can't sleep as others do, like you read in 1 Thessalonians 5, right? Come on.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
And listen, when Paul says nearer, he was saying this a couple thousand years ago,
right?
So it's not for us to say, oh, it's tomorrow, it's 10 years from now, all right? Leadership has brought this out in different classes, talking about the contractions where, you know, we're still in the contraction phase. You're still going to have periods of woe and then some calm, right? But, you know, contractions start to come quicker and quicker.
Right.
And closer together and less calm in between. And we're definitely entering a phase like that as far as the timeline of this present kingdom being set up. You know, does that mean it's 30, 40, 50? Who knows?
Right.
Is it 100 years? It could be 200 more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only the Heavenly Father knows that. But we need to be awake and we need to realize that it is nearer than when we believed. It's nearer than before. Come on.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand.
Right. And I referenced, you read in 2nd Ezra where it talks about how the world is divided into 12 parts. And in the time of Ezra, I think it's 2nd Ezra 14 that talks about that. And he says, listen, you know, 10 parts and the half of a part have already passed. Mm-hmm. That was at the time of Ezra. So when Paul's writing this and he's saying it's far spent, he's basically saying the same thing that what was revealed to Ezra. And Paul, with his understanding, knew, well, from Ezra to here, he was like, this is how much time has passed. He's saying, listen, this in the plan that the Most High has laid out,
yeah,
most of it is passed already.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there's really not that much left. But it's in the perspective of God's time, not ours, not the way we perceive time, right? Go ahead, read that from the top, verse 12 again.
Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness.
And why? Why is that important? Because, oh, I know prophecy. Oh, because, you know, you want to walk around saying, I'm hip and I'm not asleep and I know what's going on.
Mm.
No, you don't sleep so that you don't get caught when Christ comes as a thief in the night.
Mm.
Right? So it says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, because it should put a sense of urgency behind you. It should light a fire under your behind to continue to get yourself right. Come on.
Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Repent and keep the commandments. That's essentially what he's saying. So as you see and understand that so much of what God has planned is already behind and there's not that much left forward,
right,
in his perspective of time,
mm-hmm,
it should prompt us to put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, right? We can't take repentance lightly. We can't think that because we hear and we all have a measure of faith, we all have a measure of understanding, that that's it and that it's a wrap. Nothing is set in stone as far as we know. So we need to continue in this until Christ returns or until we die keeping these commandments, right? So this is basically what Paul is going into, and this is why I say, hey, we have to realize where we stand right now. And these are opportunities that you see these things that should inspire you to go ahead and take your walk a little more serious, take it with a little more sense of urgency. Right. As things and trials and all these things continue to come your way, you think on what's happening in the earth and say, man, is this something that I really need to give this much credence to?
Mm-hmm.
Or should I just, you know, really just put this behind and press towards that mark? You know, so we got to think about that. We got to consider that. That's it. Nothing. Look like you're going to say something.
I had something.
You're nodding.
Yo, I had something in Asia, like completely went. I lost it.
Hell no.
Let's play the video. I'm going to look for this here.
I lost it, bro.
Expert and the recent mass shooting in Buffalo. Should be an interesting debate. Top story of the day, white supremacist. Background of violence, a background that includes threatening to kill others, and also a manifesto that reads like a segment on Tucker Carlson's show. I kid you not, this evil scum decided to go to a black community to kill black people. That's what he did. Now, let me show you a clip of when he discovered a white male was in front of him as he was committing this mass murder. Here it is.
Sorry.
Targeted.
Yes.
Targeted.
Right.
He saw an Edomite on the floor, was ready to pop him. So they're going to talk about mental health and all this other stuff.
Mm.
It's not mental health.
At all.
I'm going to show you biblically in a little while that it's how they're made.
Right.
That's how they're made up. That's how they roll. That's what's in their spirit. So in his, they'll call it a rampage and all this other stuff. I say it's a cool, calculated mass murder that he was doing.
Right.
Cool, calculated act of terrorism.
You just killed 6 or 7 people, and in the midst of it, you could stop, consciously apologize, and then keep moving?
Yeah.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. Because he said, oh, you're not my target.
Right.
If you've seen people in fights, they start to get mad, and they just start swinging.
Everywhere.
That's that rage.
Uncontrolled.
So they're not going to be able to just stop at any point.
Right.
This man running around shooting.
Exactly. Exactly. You were going to say something?
Yeah, man.
So say something then.
That's because I don't want to go off topic, but it's just when he was shooting, he stopped before this. I don't know if we can see the video right. He was just going crazy, bro, and just like he reloaded, loaded, and then shot the dead person again.
Oh yeah,
in the head, bro.
And I'm not gonna show that because we might get like cut.
Right.
So that's why I didn't throw it out.
That's why I didn't want to go
show it
because
here.
It's,
but
it's
there's footage out there that's been floating around. Some of you might have seen it.
Oh.
Because he was streaming it.
I was about to say
this
that.
Killer was streaming it on Twitch. I think they said.
Yep.
And it shows when he was basically just executing everybody. And it shows you he had nigger written on his rifle.
Nigger. He had 14. I think he like was trying to go for 14. Targets.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff, bro. He had a lot of and on his where you hold it. What's that part called where it lays right here? The gun.
Talking about the stock.
The stock.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It had here's your reparations.
Wow.
Here's your reparations.
Wow.
Yes. Here is your reparations. Y'all didn't see that? Let me find that.
I didn't see that part. Maybe if you could just get that piece it says that.
I can find a picture somewhere.
Where you could get that. All right, keep playing the video
while he's committing a mass murder, he sees a white man and he says, sorry. There's no question about the racial element of this hateful act of terrorism. He was apprehended. According to the reports, witnesses say he was still armed when the police came. The police did not shoot him. You have to contrast this reality to the fact that black men in particular are shot all the time without being armed. As a matter of fact, many of them actually will have their back to the police. Hands up. No weapon. This individual was still armed. Committed murder. He was apprehended. According to witnesses, they came and spoke to him first and then apprehended him. There's more. Remember, this, according to the manifesto, was about something called the Great Replacement. What is the Great Replacement? According to white supremacists, the Great Replacement is a conspiracy that says basically that Democrats and black people and brown people are in a massive conspiracy to simply replace white people in America, and white people must fight back through violence in order to stop this grand conspiracy. Now, you may be wondering, well, where did he get this from? Let's go to the first clip.
I know that the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world.
Replacement theory, replacement ideology, the Great Replacement indoctrination.
So stop. So again, they're going to talk to you about it and they're going to say, oh, you know, Esau's bugging out over this, that it's not legit. It is biblical. That's why they're coming up with this stuff, because there's some, again, maybe like the upper elites, right? They know what they're doing as they push this.
Right.
But your run-of-the-mill Edomite, like the one that shot these people up in Buffalo, he doesn't realize that it's biblical.
Right.
He doesn't realize the itch that he had to do this comes from something deeper. It's not Tucker Carlson that put this in their head. This is what's in their spirit.
Right.
All right. This is what's in their spirit. Get me that where it says their soul's not upright in them. All right. This is what's in their spirit.
I also found the picture of
okay.
the arm.
Good.
The firearm.
Good. Read this and then then send them the picture so they can show the picture.
Yeah. Pull it up, David. I send it to you on the Power Hour. What are we looking for?
Their souls lifted up, not upright.
Well, while we look for that, today's broadcast is brought to you by IUIC TV because Officer
Tobias 204.
Because Officer Tobias.
You know, it takes me a little bit to quote. I thought you had it.
Officer Tobias ain't sharp with the scriptures today, bro. Come on, man.
Book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Right. So his soul that's lifted up in him is not upright in him. So it's not that, listen, this just kind of spoke to the coding that's in his spirit already when he sees things like Tucker Carlson, whatever. So the media is going to, you know, they gotta put like a face to the angst, to what's going on. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand that this is like much bigger than what they're saying. So it's not wrong, the replacement theory. I'm going to show you that. That's biblical. I'll show you that in a little bit. All right.
Full screen and zoom in.
All right, show this picture. This is what the officer was talking about.
Zoom in, full screen. So, full screen, F-11.
Is that what his gun, that he posted that?
Yes, this is what I found in an article on the New York Post and his diary, F-11.
Oh, I see the stock. It says, here's your reference. We got to zoom in on that. You can see that. So he rolled. So he rolled all this on his.
Now zoom in.
Rifle.
Come on. There you go. Go down, 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 down. Right there. Here's your reparations. Right there.
Here's your reparations. Here's your reparations.
Go up and then go scroll up a little, and then 2083. Go up more. It says go up more. Right there. He has
something about monkey,
yeah.
Baboon,
Black
nigger.
Bros.
You see nigger over there.
Black Bros.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one where also too where, you know how when you twist it, it has that I don't even know about guns like that.
You're talking about the side sight on the
yes.
rail.
Yes. On the side sight, it says niggers too.
Yeah.
Something
go
like
back
that.
Go back to where it says reparations. I'm going to show you something. And get me Jeremiah 50 and 29.
You ready?
For his heathen behind, right? Because reparations is a recompense, a revenge, so to speak, right? It's supposed to be like restitution, to restore for things that happened to us. It's all right. We don't need no reparations. I mean, we'll take reparations
right.
if they give us money.
Right?
We don't need no damn reparations, okay? Because the Most High is going to give us reparations, and he's going to most certainly give them. Here's your reparations to these damn devils. Jeremiah 50 and 29.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 50 and verse 29. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape.
Right. So, listen, it's all right. This is a light thing, okay? Because all this stuff, all this bloodshed, everything that they've done against our people, all right? It says Babylon. We're talking about here in America. Spiritually, this place is Babylon the Great, all right? He says, all ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Come on.
Recompense her.
Here's that reparations. Here's your reparations, Esau. Come on.
Recompense her according to her work.
According to her work. So we're going to go. This is why he says camp right about them. Let none of them escape. Here's your reparations. Recompense her according to her work. Come on.
According to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel.
Against the Holy One of Israel. Read on.
Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold,
that's the reparations that they got coming for them.
Right.
Now you said that. You said here's your reparations. I said, man, here's their reparations. That recompense. That's what that's going into. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the video.
Once again, the manifesto of this killer read like a segment from Tucker Carlson's show.
No, it read worse than that.
Who else said?
Not Tucker Carlson.
They will not replace us. Here it is.
Let's see who's been chanting about replacement.
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
Yeah, that would be white nationalists and neo-Nazis at the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally.
There's more.
This is a voting rights question. I have less political power because they're importing a brand new electorate. Why should I sit back and take that? The power that I have as an American, guaranteed at birth, is one man, one vote, and they're diluting it.
So stop. So what they're saying is that Democrats are allowing immigration so that these immigrants can come in to these, you know, they break down the thing by voting districts, and that they're perfect. They're purposely flooding these districts so that they can change the demographic from white to these immigrants who are basically Hispanic, because that's all they're not upset about anybody else coming in, right? That's who they go into. So they're specifically talking about Northern Kingdom, and that they're going to change the electorate, meaning the number of people in those districts that are highly favor them. So, you know, when you see the red and blue on the maps, they're saying a lot of those red are going to turn blue because they're importing immigrants that they're going to vote for them. Except you got to be a citizen to vote. So what they're saying makes no sense. All right. That's what I'm saying. This thing, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than this. And I'm going to show you again. We're going to get there. I'm going to show you biblically what it's talking about. So that part is laughable. But these guys are mouthpieces. They do say certain things and so on and so forth. I'm not going to take that away from that. But look ahead. Let's continue to play. We're going to go to another minute.
See the connection here? Tucker Carlson deserves to be in prison. Let's put up a picture of the mass killer. Okay? His name is Peyton Gendron, 18 years of age, white male, allegedly carried out a racist attack at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. This was Saturday, killing 10 people.
Hey, stop. You know what's heavy about that? He's actually against this whole thing, but they're so trained and indoctrinated a certain way in the media that he would say allegedly.
Right.
There's video of it. It's not alleged.
Right.
It happened.
It's for sure.
It's for sure.
Right.
Right. Come on.
Three others, according to authorities, almost all of the victims were black. The suspect who live streamed the mass shooting is believed to be the author of a screen of a document posted online detailing his white supremacist ideologies and his plan to target a black community in New York. There's your premeditation. You have premeditation, you have indoctrination. You know what you don't have? You don't have conservative leaders giving a damn.
Did you get to nine?
What has Trump?
9 minutes?
Yeah,
that's it. We don't need the rest of that.
That's when he goes into like, oh, we need better leaders, president, and all this.
Right, right.
And that's the thing, when things like this happen, and then you got brothers like this on the media, right? He can put out a message. He goes into, well, we need better leaders. What we need is to gather ourselves together, nation, not desire. That's what we need. We don't need to try to seek rescue from our oppressors. And that's why crazy, bugged out Edomites like this or white boys like this shoot us.
Yeah.
Because we still try to get rescue from our oppressors.
Yeah. So let's talk about this replacement theory. All right, let's talk about this replacement theory that he's talking about. So get me the PBS article first. PBS article first. And, bro, that Christian church, bro, I swear, they never used to come.
Not on Wednesdays,
I think we inspired them to go more into that. They're like, damn, these people are always
every
here.
Every day.
Right.
We got to step it up.
No, but they're here on Wednesdays. They're here on Sundays for sure when we're trying to do the Spanish radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're here on, is it Men of Valor Tuesdays?
Yeah, Men of Valor Tuesday.
They're here
so
on Tuesdays.
So I think they checked our schedule, and I think they do it on purpose, bro.
Bro.
Because even their schedule that they have outside never said anything like that.
They updated their audio, too, because they just added some bass. We back here vibrating in the audio. Room.
Wait, is that the Judah Church or is that the Black Church? That's the Hispanic Church.
Yeah, that's not 116. The Judah Church.
Oh yeah. Or so we
the black
fighting,
that's the
bro.
Black Christian Church. That ain't the Judah Church.
There's the Juan 3:16.
Is this the PBS one from PBS.org? Can you make sure? Because it was too. Okay,
yes.
That is all right. Thank you. All right. Somebody read this.
What is great replacement theory? And how does it fuel racist violence?
Right. So we're going to read what they say great replacement theory is, right, where it comes from. All right. Give you that foundation so that you're aware. And then I'm going to show you the great replacement theory in the scriptures. Okay. Because it's not a theory. It's a prophecy that's preordained by the Most High from the foundation of everything.
That's
okay?
Right.
Go ahead.
a racist ideology seeping from the internet's fringes into the mainstream is being investigated as motivating factor in the supermarket shooting that killed 10 people in Buffalo, New York. Most of the victims were black.
I'm at least glad that they're saying it's racist, because they like to come at us and say we're racist. And, you know, we've done stuff on the show that shows, you know, we're the furthest thing from racist, but they are racist. And it is an ideology,
right?
It is an ideology that they have. Come on.
Ideas from the Great Replacement Theory filled a racist document supposedly posted online by the white 18-year-old accused of targeting black people in Saturday's rampage.
And I think Deacon Ithon, I guess, found a copy of it. He's probably going to go in. I don't know if he's going to go into it for a show or class, but I know if he got a hold of it, he posted it so that the deacons and stuff could take a look at it. I haven't looked at it because 180 pages. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to read it.
Damn.
But obviously something's brewing in his spirit. He been a little quiet behind the scenes. I think he's putting something together on this stuff. Mm. Yeah, he probably is. So
Deacon Alfonso, he would probably read a book.
That dude, we always used to say, bro, like, he'll like break down like dark sayings and then like finish a video game and read a comic book like at the same time. Like, yeah, he definitely brother got a good spirit when it comes to that. It's definitely a spiritual gift with recall for him to be able to break all that stuff down and remember where it's at. But go ahead.
Authorities were still working to confirm its authenticity. Certainly, there was no mistaking the racist intent of the shooter. What is the Great Replacement Theory? Simply put, the conspiracy theory says there's a plot to diminish the influence of white people.
There is a plot to diminish the influence of white people, but it's not other white people that have that plot. We have no power,
right,
to institute a plot like that. Well, let me say this. We have no power within the construct of their system to affect any replacement. We do have power,
right?
Yes, by returning to the Most High God as Israelites, repenting, all right, so that he could send his son to promise what he promised to us, all right, and save us from the hands of our enemies, okay? Lord's will remind me, I want to look at that in Luke 1 later, all right?
Sure.
Later, so we could see that, you know, we do have that. But they're saying that there's this conspiracy with world leaders that want to do that thing, right? So go ahead.
Believers say this goal is being achieved both through the immigration of non-white people into society.
So they say non-white, and don't let them fool you and think that means the Chinaman and, you know, the Arab man, because you saw how willing they were to let those type of people in, right? Mm-hmm. They always try to throw in Moab and Ammon into the mix and say that they're minority people and that they have abuse and this, that, and the other. And listen, were there some things in history where the Chinese, you know, a couple hundred years ago maybe weren't treated that great here? Yeah, but what's going on now?
Yeah, they made the anti-hate law for Asians, and they were supposed to do that for blacks. And now what would have happened if our oppressors would say, okay, here's a law for anti-hate for blacks, right? This would have had happened. That dude would have been, had got the electric chair or something.
Right.
But no, because you blacks, you Hispanics, guess what? You are not wanted.
Right, exactly.
You are not wanted, bro.
Yael said that he makes a good point. He says people like Dr. Richie, their thing is that they want to change these people. No, well, again, and the point of what I'm going to bring out today, Lord's will, as I bring everything full circle, and we're almost an hour in already, and I'm like, damn. As we bring everything full circle, is exactly that. Like, we got to stop trying to hug it out and love these people, and that love is the answer, and this, that, and that's not the answer for our people.
At all.
When are you going to learn that these people are never going to change? How many times do these things need to happen? Mm. Right? Go ahead, read on.
Where are we at? The conspiracy? The conspiracy theories, more racist adherents believe Jews are behind the so-called...
No, read believers again, because we only read part of that.
Okay. Believers say this goal is being achieved both through the immigration of non-white people into societies that have largely been dominated by white people, as well as through simple demographics, with white people having lower birth rates than other populations.
And let me tell you something. If that is indeed true, and that's what's happening, that's of the Lord.
Because
he said that we would be as the sand of the sea.
Right.
And, you know, so he's basically letting things kind of
he said
it. I think he's building things to a head where we will outnumber them.
He mm-hmm. said it in Obadiah. He says, you're the least among, he says, you're the least among all the heathen.
You got Deuteronomy 7, if you want that real quick.
No.
Oh, he says, I didn't choose you, set my love upon you.
Yeah.
No, no.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Obadiah 2, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen.
Mm-hmm.
Esau is small in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And they know this, and they're scared.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But they wield a lot of power as the preeminent race in the earth for now. Because it had to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and Lord's will, we have time for me to get into it like I want to in Romans 9 because we have a lot of articles and things like that. I'm going to show you it had to be that way, and God allows it to be that way because this is what he set up to make a point,
mm-hmm.
right, to prove what he wanted to prove, all right? So I'm going to try to – I got to make sure I hit all those points. I got to make sure I hit those because I know I got a lot of material here, but I got to make sure I hit those points, all right? Go ahead, read on.
The conspiracy theory's more racist adherents believe Jews are behind the so-called replacement plan.
Right. So, and that's another those things there are like distractors.
Right.
To get you away from the real spirituality of what's going on here. All right. And listen, they ain't no so-called Amalekites. All right. That's what they call Jews, the so-called Jewish people that are doing this type of thing. All right. Because they have all types of derogatory names for us. They call us Goyim,
mm-hmm.
which is like cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically like cattle to them. All right. That's BS. All
right. Amalek has us right where they want.
Right.
And real quick, you said about the population, they don't have kids and what have you. Well, it's their fault too. You know why? Because I know one Edomite that I work with, he went and cut his strengths or what have you, so he won't have children anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's real white about like, yeah, guns and America and all this, but he himself doesn't want children. That's your problem, bro.
Right.
That's
right.
Your problem, man.
Right.
We don't die. We, the Israelites, we multiply, bro.
That's right. Right. Exactly. Come on. White nationalists. No, read the conspiracy theory.
The conspiracy theory is more racist adherents believe Jews are behind the so-called replacement plan. White nationalists marching at Charlottesville, Virginia, rally that turned deadly in 2017, chanted, "You will not replace us, and Jews will not replace us."
Scroll down. A more mainstream, you skipped it, right? Or is that just for the video? Okay, no, go ahead. What is the conspiracy theory's origins?
What is this conspiracy theory's origins? How long has racism existed? Broadly speaking, the roots of this theory are that deep. In the U.S., you can point to efforts to intimidate and discourage black people from voting, or, in antagonist view, replacing the white voters at the polls. That date to the Reconstruction era, after the 15th Amendment made clear suffrage couldn't be restricted on account of race.
Right. So he's saying that there's ways that this has manifested in the United States throughout history in different ways. So he talks about how after the 15th Amendment, which is what gives blacks and, you know, Hispanics fall under that to some extent, largely the right to vote. Right. Because of immigration. Right. Because the right to vote was supposed to be only if you were born here, a citizen.
They also pushed this theory, conspiracy theory, on the boys.
Yeah.
So they've been doing
it,
bro.
The second season went into that as
well.
Yeah. Heavily.
The second season was heavily
into that. Yep. So he's giving you some examples of how it manifested through history, but I'm going to show you it goes back even further, right, than what they're saying. But go ahead.
In the modern era, most experts point to two influential books, The Turner Diaries, a 1978 novel written by William Luther Pierce under the pseudonym Andrew McDonald. Is about a violent revolution in the United States with a race war that leads to extermination of non-whites.
So he's saying there's this piece of literature that motivates them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one cause in modern times. Come on.
The FBI called it a Bible of the racist right.
Come on.
Says Kurt Braddock, an American university professor and researcher at the Polarization and Extremism Research and Innovation Lab. Renaud Camus, a French writer, published a 2011 book claiming that Europe was being invaded by black and brown immigrants from Africa. He called the book Le Grand Replacement.
And a conspiracy's name was born.
Okay, so he's giving you a little brief background. We're going to go through two intros of Wiki to talk about it, and then we'll start breaking some stuff down in a moment. Go ahead, Who are its adherents?
Who are its adherents? To some of the more extreme believers, certain white supremacist mass killers at a Norway summer camp in 2011, two Christchurch, New Zealand mosques in 2019, a Pittsburgh synagogue in 2018, a black church in Charleston, South Carolina in 2015.
So the one thing, and again, this gets me so upset because this is the media machine and what it does. Just stop here for a second. So they mentioned these, right? They'll mention Muslim. They'll mention the Amalek shooting. They'll mention the other black church shooting in Charleston. Go to the article from El Paso because this is part of where they try to create the vision, right? Because some people might be watching the show right now and say, well, they're not shooting up Hispanics.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't pertain to us.
That doesn't. You might have a Hispanic tune in and say, that's not me.
Yeah.
Or you might have some Southern Kingdom saying, see, those things don't happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that they can try to say that Northern Kingdom aren't the Hispanics.
Right.
Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Though the media made us forget.
Yes.
And this is why Romans 13:11 says, right, it's high time you awake out of sleep. They don't, and I'm sure there's more altercations. There's more things that happen. There's more events.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this for years, that they won't show in relation to Northern Kingdom. They won't show the oppression of Hispanics and Native Americans in the same light. Who, I don't know who remembers the shooting in 2019, and it was in El Paso, Texas. And just like this shooter in Buffalo drove over 200 miles to go to this predominantly so-called black area in Buffalo to get his intended victims. Individual here did the same thing when he drove to El Paso, Texas, to one of the most Hispanic towns there, to do a mass shooting, and they found a racist manifesto as well there. So read this.
A racist manifesto and a shooter terrorized Hispanics in El Paso and beyond.
Oh, wait a second. But that don't happen to so-called Hispanics.
Right.
They not Northern Kingdom. Mm. Come on.
On Saturday, the city was victim of white supremacy, but it was not the only target. By terrorizing El Paso, the gunmen terrorized Hispanics across the state and the country.
Oh, okay. Read on.
El Paso shooting. More than 20 people were killed in an August 3rd, 2019, shooting rampage at a Walmart in El Paso.
Oh, there you go. He went to a top supermarket where he knew black people shopped in Buffalo. This killer went and said, this Walmart in El Paso is predominantly Hispanic. I'm going there to shoot up some Hispanics. Come on.
The gunman was arrested and charged with capital murder for the shooting in El Paso, which is recovering from what federal law enforcement has classified as an act of domestic terrorism.
Let's read on.
El Paso, on Sunday night, as the sun dipped behind the blue-hued Franklin Mountains, this grieving border city telegraphed a message. The community had been violently knocked down by an act of what federal law enforcement has cataloged as domestic terrorism. As El Pasoans gathered by the thousands a day later over the brown dirt of a baseball diamond and out onto the adjoining football field for a community vigil, they were distraught and shaken. But they also spoke words of hope, of defiance in the face of hate, and of determination to write their own manifesto.
I'm going to let you read it, but it makes me want to vomit that this would happen, and their response is, oh, let's have a love out. Let's kumbaya over these people who have a perpetual hatred against us.
Right.
Come on.
One of love, of tenderness, of inclusivity.
Inclusivity, integration has been one of the worst things for our people. Right. Come on.
Of generosity, of compassion, of hope, of justice.
And by the way, none of those things describe Esau. All right, come on.
All that makes El Paso and the borderlands truly great. Dylan Corbett, director of the Hope Border Institute, proclaimed in a combination of Spanish and English to cheers from the crowd at Ponder Park. Just a few blocks from the white from the site where 20 people were massacred.
That's the response. Stuff like this should make you angry. Stuff like this should put you in the spirit, like we read in Romans 13, 11, and 12, that you wake up. Mm-hmm. That it's high time that you awake out of sleep and realize that our end is nearer. Excuse me, than it was before. But they here talking and it cheers over this BS. Come on.
Where 20 people were massacred and more than two dozen others were injured at the hands of a white gunman. Two of them died Monday at local hospitals. The mostly Hispanic crowd in this mostly Hispanic city was visibly emotional, sharing tissue boxes and prayers as they tried to make sense of why a stranger from outside the community would target members of theirs based on the color of their skin.
And listen, they say color of their skin. Listen, Ephraim's a cake not turned. Hispanics come in all shades and colors.
Right.
You know, I mean, look at me. All right. Look at Officer Shia. Officer Tobias is Judah. Look at him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So don't let them fool you with the color thing either.
Right.
The same way Rashad was saying allegedly, Dr. Rashad was saying allegedly, after calling him a mass murderer, then say allegedly, it's the subtle programming that they put in us, mm-hmm. right? It's not about color. It's they don't like us. They hate us.
Right.
Come on. No matter what shade we come in. Come on.
By then, law enforcement officials had indicated that they were investigating a racist manifesto possibly penned by the gunman that described the attack as a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas.
Because of the replacement theory. And they even tell you that replacement theory. This is why I say it's all BS in the way they present it. They said the replacement theory is non-white immigrants.
But that's very vague.
But the black people that this guy killed was not immigrants.
Right.
So it's more than that. It's deeper than that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And railed against the growing political clout of Hispanics in Texas who would take control of the local and state government and change policy to better suit their needs.
Read on.
To reconcile that, white supremacy fueled motive with everyday life in El Paso proved insurmountable to locals living in a city where the culture is unique, blend of Mexican and American, where the boundary between it and
Ciudad
Juarez is practically indistinguishable. From a distance, it's a community that has preserved for years, but especially in the last few, to welcome immigrants coming to the country seeking safety, asylum, and opportunity. The shooter came into our community because we are a Hispanic community and we have immigrants here. U.S. Republic, Veronica Escobar, and El Paso Democrats said at a Sunday vigil. After the shooting at the Walmart, fear washed over El Paso. A popular Mexican restaurant stood empty Saturday night. A handwritten note posted on the door in both Spanish and English. For your security and ours, we are closed. Thank you for your understanding. The next day, El Pasoans gathered at restaurants with their families and went to church on Sunday.
They went to the Christian church.
Right.
The bloodiest religion.
They never go to church.
They went to the crack house. Known as the Christian church.
Back to the white.
That's exactly what they were doing in there.
We love you, God.
Do it again. That's what they did on Sunday.
Jesus Christ. We love you, God.
That's exactly what they did there on Sunday. Come on.
The next day, El Pasoans gathered at restaurants with their families and went to church. But the serenity of a Sunday morning had been shattered. At another local restaurant, as a Hispanic family got ready to leave, a waitress called out a "be careful" in Spanish. At St. Patrick Cathedral, the Reverend Trini Fuentes asked to change the opening hymnal for the mid-morning mass in light of the massacre the day before.
Okay, hold on. That's sickening me reading about the damn hymns and stuff. Scroll down. In El Paso, gosh.
In El Paso, we love more than we hate.
Sure. Hey, no. someone said in the comments, I can't find it now. He said, have some self-respect. If they don't love you, stop trying to love them back.
Right.
That's real, bro. Man. That's real. That go on every level, too. Relationships, they don't love you. Have some self-respect.
Right.
Stop trying to love them back. He said, read read that again.
In El Paso, we love more than we hate. said Anna Elena Allen, a churchgoer who initially waved a reporter off because she was overcome with emotion. Throughout the weekend, the only way people seemed to make sense of the tragedy was to underscore that this hate was not homegrown. The suspected gunman had come from Allen, a Dallas suburb 10 hours away.
Hold on a second. Let me get Psalm 139 for these people that love more than they hate, bruh. Trying to love their oppressor. Oh, my goodness. Have some self-respect.
Right.
Give him another slap. The hell is it?
That's a good-ass comment. Have some self-respect. Psalm 139 and 21.
The book of Psalms, chapter 139 and verse 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee.
Come on.
I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies.
Man. What happened to that spirit? David was in the spirit there.
Right.
He said, I hate them that hate thee. And he said, and I'm grieved with those that rise up against thee. He says, I hate them with a perfect hatred.
Mm.
With a perfect hatred. And they're his enemies. Let's get that in Nehemiah 5 and 9. Who is he speaking about? Nehemiah 5 and 9. Because obviously someone will say, oh, but Christ said love your enemy.
Right.
He's talking about of your people. Of your people, there should be no hatred. Why? Because all time and chance is given to all Israel to repent. So we don't know who's jacked up now amongst our people who might repent,
right.
Who might have an opening to that. But when it comes to the other nation, who are those enemies? Read that.
The book of Nehemiah, chapter 5 and verse 9.
Read
also out. I said, it is not good that ye do, i.e. not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies.
The reproach because of the hate? From the heathen, the other nations that are not Israelites,
right.
Are enemies. Go back to Psalms 139. Read verse 22.
The book of Psalms, chapter 139 and verse 2.
Read
22. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies.
Those that hate God, the heathen, are enemies. Come out of here with it. Have some self-respect.
Right.
What the hell is this?
give him another slap.
Give him another slap.
Self-respect.
Oh my goodness. Come on, go ahead. Go back here and read this.
We had okay. And for some in El Paso, the shooter was not the only one to blame. Locals spoke of an amplification of hate in the area of Trump, and they worried that it could be violently unleashed beyond El Paso. At one Sunday vigil, an El Pasoan held up a sign, Mr. Trump, your racist words brought our hate to El Paso to kill our family. The words in the manifesto were rooted in white supremacy ideology and talked about an invasion of Texas.
Oh, there's going to be an invasion.
Man.
There's going to be an invasion when Christ returns.
Them troops.
That's right.
Right. Where is that? Invade them with his troops. Get me that. That's
Habakkuk
3:16.
Yep. Habakkuk.
Let's get Habakkuk 3:16. It's going to be an invasion, all
right. That's right.
I'm telling you, man, you gotta read between the lines in this stuff.
16, right?
Yep, 3:16.
The book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 16.
Read.
When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble.
Because it's going to be atrocious.
Mm.
It's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth you read about in that day. Come on.
When he cometh up into the people.
When Christ returns with all the host of heaven, with the angels behind him, in V formation, as birds fly. Come on.
He will invade them with his troops.
He will invade this place with his troops.
I got a little letter next to mine that says,
cut them in pieces.
Oh, damn.
Damn.
He says, some Bibles have a little letter. It says, cut them in pieces.
Well, invade, it says, instead of invade, it says, cut them in pieces.
Just said a backhand slap with a white glove. Oh, man. Read that part again on the article. Come on.
The words in the manifesto were rooted in white supremacy ideology and talked about an invasion of Texas. Republican leaders, including President Donald Trump and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, have used that same wording to decry an invasion across the state's southern border. The manifesto also borrowed from the racist Go Back, sentiment Trump recently used to attack four congresswomen of color.
They need to go back. What the hell is this? Right? Lamentations 5, 1, and 2. They need to go back. Come on.
As El Pasoans gathered Sunday, the conversation was not just focused on gun violence and a need for...
Okay. I don't need the rest of that. Let's go to the wiki because I want to start getting to my point with these scriptures. Let's go to the wiki. Oh my gosh. No, not that one. Start with the other one and scroll up. Scroll all the way to the top. We got to read the intro first, and then we'll go down to the United States. All right. So what is the Great Replacement? It actually did not originate here in the United States as far as Esau bringing this stuff out.
Oh, wow.
It started in France. All right. This was the book that was spoken about by this guy. Let's read that. Go ahead. The Great Replacement.
The Great Replacement, also known as replacement theory, is a white nationalist far-right conspiracy theory. This disseminated by French author Renaud Carmas. The original theory states that with the complicity or cooperation of replacist elites, the white European populations are being demographically and culturally replaced with non-white people.
And you got to understand something. I'm going to put some emphasis on these little points before I get to the scriptures on it, because what you must understand is that it's not random that they're pulling it. They don't have the biblical understanding. Some of them do, all right, but most of them don't. The biblical understanding of this replacement theory, all right, and what God calls it, all right, what the Bible calls it, they don't have the biblical understanding of replacement. So, but something in them knows, and they know that it's not that it's non-white. Mm-hmm. They know that they're not being replaced, and they don't know where to attribute it to. So there's something in their spirit, there's something in their bones, all right, that makes them feel this way. Mm-hmm. And it's right. I'm telling you that it's right, because according to what the Most High has in store, it's correct. All right? Go ahead.
Especially from Muslim-majority countries, through mass immigration, demographic growth, and a drop in the birth rate of white Europeans. Mainstream scholars have dismissed these claims as rooted in an exaggerated reading of immigration statistics and premised upon an unscientific racist worldview. While similar themes have characterized various far-right theories since the late 19th century, the particular term was popularized by Carmas in his 2011 book, La Grande Remplacement.
What?
It's...
Come on, man.
I couldn't do it. Whoa. It specifically associated the presence of Muslims in France with potential danger and destruction of French culture and civilization. Carmas and other conspiracy theorists attribute this process to intentional policies advanced by global and liberal elites, the replacists, from within the government of France, the European Union.
We don't need that. Actually, no, scroll down, because I like the part. No, scroll up. Where were you? Scroll up.
The European Union, right there.
Yeah, finish that, because I like this term that he uses here.
The European Union, or the United Nations. They describe it as genocide by substitution.
Well, that's what we read in Habakkuk 3:16, where it says invade means cut them up into pieces, right? It's going to be a genocide for them. But it's not substitution. Because, again, like when we read in 2 Ezra, I'm going to show you how it was ordained. It was set up from the beginning, all right? So here's what I want. Okay, scroll down.
Although Camus has publicly condemned white nationalist violence, scholars have argued that calls to violence are implicit in his depiction of non-white migrants as an existential threat to white populations. Several far-right terrorists, including the perpetrators of the 2019
Christchurch
mosque shootings, the 2019 El Paso shooting,
which we just read about, come on,
and the 2022 Buffalo shooting.
So they updated it already, letting you know that they know that it's connected, come on,
have made reference to the Great Replacement conspiracy theory.
So scroll solely, because I want to see the contents to let you know, see how it has all these countries? So this Great Replacement theory is not just here in the United States. Wow. It's all Edom that has this in their bones, that they feel this, all right? So look, France, Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain. Spain is an Edomite kingdom. The United Kingdom. And then they also have North America, Canada, United States. Look, even in Australia. All right?
Wasn't there a shooting in Australia not too long ago, too?
That's the Christchurch.
Okay.
That's the one in New Zealand. But they did that to the Muslims.
Yeah. Hey, can you go up a little? That last paragraph we read? Right there. Read that. Although
Camus has publicly condemned white nationalist violence, scholars have argued that calls to violence are implicit and is the depiction of non-white migrants as existential threat to white populations.
So it says, Camus has publicly condemned white nationalist violence. Scholars have argued that the calls for violence are implicit in his depiction of non-white immigrants. This sounds just like Trump when the rally was going on at June 6th. Guys, go home. Stop this. This is exactly what it sounds like.
Right.
When I read this,
stop this. Wink.
Yeah. That's exactly what I read.
Right.
What comes to my mind. I read this and it's just Trump saying, guys, stop. Okay. Stop.
Right.
Go ahead.
So I'll scroll down to United States. You could just click on United States. It'll pop you right there. All right. Okay, I don't know if I want to read all that for the sake of time because I want to jump into more. Like, we can come back if we have to as we jump into some of these scriptures in a minute. Go to the other one where's the other wiki that I had. White genocide conspiracy theory. So this is what it's called in the United States. This is how they title it here in the U.S. and how they feel about it here. All right? So go ahead. Get that. Read that.
White genocide conspiracy theory. White genocide redirects here from...
No, you don't need that. Jump to the white.
The white genocide, white extinction, or white replacement conspiracy theory is a white supremacist conspiracy theory.
But it's not. I'm going to show you that it's actually a prophecy of the Most High God. Mm. Come on.
Conspiracy theory which states that there is a deliberate plot often blamed on Jews to promote miscegenation, interracial marriage, mass non-white immigration, racial integration, low fertility rates, abortion, governmental land confiscation from whites, organized violence, and eliminationism in white-founded countries in order to cause the extinction of whites through forced assimilation.
So essentially, everything they did to us,
right?
Like we read in Jeremiah 50, they're worried about happening to them. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. That's what we read in Jeremiah 50, 29.
All praises.
He said he's going to recompense them according to their works. Mm. They're going to have their reparations. Go ahead, read on.
Mass immigration and violent genocide. Less frequently, black people, Hispanics, and Muslims are blamed for the secret plot. But merely as more fertile immigrants, invaders, or violent aggressors rather than masterminds.
Because you know why? They're pumped the way they see themselves as God.
Mm-hmm.
They can't believe that it's us. That's when, like in Wisdom of Solomon 5, when it says, how are they numbered among the saints of the Most High?
Right.
They're going to be in shock up until that last moment, right? So that's why when you see these videos where you'll have an Edomite that gets all excited and they, you know, and people get all excited when they see an Edomite say, yeah, you are the Israelites and this, that, and the other. It goes to show you where you at in your walk, that you're still seeking validation from your oppressor, from master,
right,
to tell you that you're Israel. Oh, those videos just make me laugh. That's nothing to me when I see stuff like that. Right? Come on.
White genocide is a political myth.
It might be a political myth, but it's not a biblical myth. Come on.
White genocide is a political myth based on pseudoscience, pseudo-history, and ethnic hatred driven by psychological panic, often termed white extinction anxiety.
Hover over that. Let's see what that says, white extinction anxiety. I'm going to show you white extinction anxiety. It doesn't pop up. All right. Okay, don't worry about it. I'm going to show you what white extinction anxiety is in the Bible. Go ahead.
White people are not dying out or facing extermination.
Well, they might not be dying out, but they are most certainly facing extermination. Come on.
The purpose of the conspiracy theory is to justify a commitment to a white nationalist agenda in support of calls to violence. The theory was popularized by white separatist neo-Nazi David Lane around 1995 and has been leveraged as propaganda in Europe, North America, South Africa, and Australia. Similar conspiracy theories were prevalent in Nazi Germany and have been used in the present day interchangeably with and as a broader and more extreme version of Renaud Camus' 2011, The Great Replacement, focusing on white population of France.
All right, so there's that guy, Camus, again. Come on.
Since the 2019 Christchurch and El Paso shootings, of which the shooters' manifestos decried a white replacement and have referenced the concept of the of great replacement, Camus 2012 Great Replacement Concept and Great and Gerd Hansik Resurgent 1970s Myth of Clergy Plant.
Okay, we don't need the rest of that. Look up replacement or replace definition. I know I sent you the thesaurus one. I don't want the synonyms yet. I want the definition of replace. All right? So I'm going to show you something. While you do that, I'm going to start showing you how what the Bible calls this replacement theory that they call. All right?
Before we go into the replacement, can I get a scripture about them knowing they have a short time?
Yeah, go ahead. Bring that up.
Revelation 12. That it's in their bones, and they know they're going to get replaced. They know that they have but a short time. And the Bible proves that. Revelation 12 and 12.
The book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them.
Mm-hmm.
Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you.
Devil, the white man, has come down unto us with, go ahead.
Having great wrath.
With great wrath.
Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
He knows that he's in power only for a short time. And guess what? After that, it's us. We got next.
And that's all, folks.
Get Job 20, because we keep saying it's in his bones. I'm going to show you where it's at. We brought this out before.
Yes, we have. All praises.
And this will go into that a little bit, too, so that we understand it. So 20... Maybe I'll come back to the rest of it. Let me see where I want to go. We could just go into it now and then we'll bring it out. So let me show you just a little bit of this. No, I got to set it up better than that. Let's No, because I want to go back to that after I bring this other stuff out.
No.
Just go to 11. The point, verse 11, yeah. So I'll show you that this talk about Esau later, but let's talk about Esau. Come on.
The book of Job, chapter 20 and verse 11. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust.
Right, letting you know that when it comes to Esau, even the ones today, because they'll tell you like, remember I'm saying it's in their spirit. There's something in them that's saying that we keep saying it's in his bones, it's in his bones. Letting you know, remember, the regeneration, this is that same generation that's still here, both of Israelites and of these other nations, right? And when it comes to Esau, the so-called white man, he's saying his bones are full of the sins of his youth, meaning everything he's done historically from his progenitor days, actually from his days of that spirit of Cain,
right?
All right, is saying it's in there, it's coded in them.
Mm-hmm.
When it talks about his bones, it means that it's hereditary. It's passed down to them.
Mm.
So this whole thing, have some self-respect. They don't love you and they've never loved you.
That's right?
I'm going to show you that later. It says, so he says his bones are full of the sins of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust, letting you know that even though they'll come with that thing that, well, that's not me, that wasn't me, like, you know, that was, you know, forefathers, that was this, that was that.
Right.
It stays with them. It stays with them. Read verse 12.
Verse 12. The wickedness be sweet in his mouth.
Meaning, that's all that comes out their mouth.
Right.
They're all about evil. They're all about wickedness. Come on.
Though he hide it under his tongue.
But he hides it under his tongue, correct? Meaning, he'll come with these different words and different ways to lull you to sleep. Come on.
Though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth.
So meaning, for a time, he might be able to conceal that hatred. He might be able, because spare it means not eliminate it, but like he doesn't always show it.
He limits it.
He limits it.
Yeah. Mm.
But it says, but it's not forsaken. So don't be fooled when they come all friendly and, you know, they try to come to your rallies and all that stuff. It's in their bones. We have to remember that. Now, let's get replaced. Let's Get Replaced.
You want me to read it?
Yes, read that.
Replace. Take the place of.
Take the place of. Look at some of the similar words.
Put back.
That next definition's cold.
Put back, return to its place, restore.
Now read the second definition.
Oh, put something back in a previous place or position.
Right. So there is a replacement. Mm. Why? Because there's a prophecy that's put here. All right? Let's get Genesis 25 and 23. What were you going to say?
Yeah, that's a basic word, and then we forget the real deeper
definition. Yeah, the real definition of
to
it.
To put back something that was
right,
there before.
Right. So it's funny that they'll say it's a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But then they talk about a substitution, meaning even in their words, they betray themselves.
Right.
Because replacement means to basically restore, to put back something that was there before.
Yes. Right.
That was supposed to have that rulership, supposed to have that authority before.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they say it's a substitute, they're implying that they're supposed to be the original.
Right.
And that we're a substitution. But it's not, right? Read this, Genesis 25 and 23.
The book of Genesis, chapter 25 and verse 23.
Oh, God. We're getting spammed with adult dating sites.
Right. I got you.
Okay.
I got it.
And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb.
Right. So Jacob and Esau was in Rebekah's womb. Come on.
And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels.
She said two manner of people will be separated from thy bowels. Come on.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger.
Right. So who was the elder son? Who was born first? Esau was born first.
Right.
And he says the elder shall serve the younger, meaning this was preordained. This was something that was there from the beginning. All right. Now, watch this. Hold on. I had it up here. Hold on.
Can we go to Romans?
Nope, not yet. I'm not going to Romans yet. I've got to see how I'm going to get to Romans.
Can I get Romans, what we just read about?
Where you want? You're going to go to Romans 9?
Yeah, where it said neither was it their works.
I was going to go there later, but.
No, then that's fine.
Okay, all right. I was going to go there later, but. All right, get Genesis 27. Well, we have to read the blessing of Israel now. We have to read the blessing of Israel now because we just brought out the understanding that it means to put back what was supposed to be there, right?
Mm.
Okay, start at 18.
The book of Genesis, chapter 27 and verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn.
So this is really important, all right? This is really important for you to understand, okay? And when we get down to verse 36, I'm going to show you what we're reading now is the origins of replacement ideology, all right? Which they know is ordained, all right? Which they know is ordained in their spirit, okay? Because I'm going to show you a synonym for replacement that is a biblical word that we're going to read here in a little bit. But you have to understand this history. So it was ordained by God. God instructed Rebecca to have Jacob dress up like Esau, right? Isaac's eyesight wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, look, throw on a goat skin, right? Because you read the prophecy that he was hairy and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, when he touches you, he's going to feel like the hairy son, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to say, okay, because the firstborn is supposed to get the blessing, right? They're supposed to get the biggest blessing. Everything, right? Mm-hmm. Your firstborn male, your firstborn son is supposed to have all that stuff, right? So the Most High instructed Rebecca, he says, look, do this. And I'm telling you, this is of God, all right? This isn't going to be something jacked up. This is the way I need it to go down. And I'm going to show you why later when we read 2 Ezra, like I did on Monday, 2 Ezra 6, why it had to go down this way, all right? Because the Most High planned this thing out thoroughly so that it can be set up this way. And you see the ripple effects of this today in what's called replacement theory. Okay? Go ahead, read on.
And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me.
Right, so Isaac's not dumb. Even though his eyesight is dim, he suspected something a little off, right? Come on.
And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.
Hmm.
And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands.
So he said, all right, the voice sounds like my other son's voice, but he says, I couldn't discern that it's fully Jacob, because he feels like Esau. Come on.
So he blessed him, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near, and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him.
Because he smelled like an animal. He smelled like the woods, you know? So come on.
And said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed.
See? He smelled like the field, right? Come on.
Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. That let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee.
Right. So remember, Esau gave his birthright away, right, for red pottage, mm-hmm. okay? But then he wasn't going to keep his word like he never did. He was still intending to claim his birthright from his father.
Right.
He never intended to go to his pops and say, hey, you know, I made a deal with Jacob, I can't take this birthright, right? We're going to see that later, because when he finds out that the birthright was given away, he gets a lot of angst in him,
mm-hmm.
letting you know this is the genesis of what they're feeling today and how it manifests. This is what I'm saying, what's in their bones and what they say is replacement theory. God always meant it from the beginning that Jacob was going to be, we just read it in 25:26, where he says the elder shall serve the younger,
right?
God always had that intention, but it played out different because he set up Esau as the villain in the history of the world. And I'll show you that in a little bit as well. So Esau knows that in his spirit today, based on what we're reading here in this history. Come on.
Verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting, and he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison, and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he smelled, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father.
So he said, remember, he was bitter with this. So you have to understand that this is where those feelings got rooted in. Esau is the progenitor of all white people.
Mm.
So when they say that they feel like they're being replaced, that's that residual, that's that echo in their bones what happened here in the history. Come on.
DNA.
Yes.
Verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and have taken away thy blessing.
That's what they're accusing us now with this replacement theory.
Right.
Oh, it's subtle that you're trying to change demographics. But they got it all twisted. They're doing it in like a modern sense in their minds. And like I said, the Edomite elites, the higher echelon white people, they understand this. But these lower ones don't understand that. So they get filled in with these different agendas, these different words, and these different terms. Because it's only a fragment that's in their spirit. But they don't have that understanding to know what's really going on here. Come on.
Verse 36. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times.
So stop. He says, is he not rightly named Jacob? They call it replacement theory. Mm-hmm. Let me get the synonyms for replace. And just go right to the point. All to the left, just highlight it. Supplant. Go down. I don't know if y'all saw it. Maybe y'all missed it. Mm-hmm. All right? Supplant.
Damn.
Replace means supplant. Mm. Jacob's name was supplanter. So I said, they're not wrong when they say replacement.
At all.
That's biblical. The origins of that are in the Bible. Read that verse again.
Verse 36, and he said, is not he rightly named Jacob?
He said, is he not rightly named Jacob, which means supplanter, which means replacer? Come on.
For he has supplanted me these two times.
Because he now revealed himself. Damn. I sold my birthright, and now he did it again. Come on. Come on.
He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing.
Read.
And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord.
That's replacement theory. Come on.
And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above.
So he gave him this blessing, but this blessing was for a dispensation of time only. Mm. And Esau understood that because in his spirit, Esau being the progenitor of all these white people, all right, he understood that this blessing was only going to be for a time because the blessing of the firstborn, the greater blessing, was given to Jacob, which is Israel, the supplanter, the replacer. Come on.
Verse 40. And by thy sword shalt thou live.
And this is why he goes and shoots up these our areas, the El Paso shooting, the Buffalo shooting, in black churches, in Hispanic communities. Come on.
And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck.
Right, and that's the period that they're in now, that they have dominion, right? Because Israel came to power, they had a kingdom for a little while, and then this part of the prophecy got fulfilled after that, right? You had the rise of the Greeks, and it says that's when evils multiplied in the earth, and that's when Esau fully came into power to have the dominion over us, because we had no hope of ever coming back after that, right? We lost our kingdom. The kings that we had, we went into much wickedness and sin. And then when Antiochus, Alexander the Greek first came and then divided everything, that's when this blessing started to get fulfilled for Esau. Because prior to that, Esau was all jacked up. Now, Esau didn't have anything.
Right.
So, and then he came on the scene as the Greeks. And from then on, he's had the dominion. Mm-hmm. All right. But they understand that was only for a dispensation of time. So they're concerned about that. And then read on, because of this, this is where this hatred comes from, that they'll do what they do and what you'll see the results of in these mass shootings. Come on. And it's not just these mass shootings, but this is one manifestation of it for some of them in their spirit. Come on.
And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him.
He hated him because he knows that his dominion is only for a little bit of time. Mm. And they know, even though they might not be aware of it in a prophetic sense, like I said, outside of those higher elites, but these run-of-the-mill cavemen that you have here,
right?
All right, they know something in their bones, like we read in Job, and they understand that it's only for a time. So they have a hatred for us. They have a hatred for us. Come on.
And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
It's in his spirit to want to kill us. Mm. It's in his spirit to always come after us. Hey, there's this. I like some of these Korean shows that they show on Netflix. Mm. Like I get into the, they write some really crazy stuff. I'm watching one now called Bulgasal, right? And the premise is that it's regeneration, right? Mm. and the souls are connected, right? And they'll do it as like monsters and stuff like that. They'll say it started off that they were monsters. And it says if you were a monster in a past life, even when you come back as a human, you'll be a monster, right?
Right.
So like they, you know, like basically one guy comes back and as when he was a monster 600 years ago, he liked killing young kids. Mm-hmm. So he comes back in modern times and he's wealthy and he's like a serial killer that kills young kids, right? So he stays in that spirit. But they also can like they get a response when they come across a spirit. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where he's looking for one particular soul. I'm not going to say too much about it. It'll take too long because the point is not see the movie, the series. But it makes me think of this when I see that. And there's a scene where he's following this girl because this soul regenerated. She was a girl. She always regenerates as a girl. He's following this girl. He's a bus driver. And he says, he comes next to her. He's like, do I know you? Do I know you? He starts smelling her and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, there's something about you like I know you. And then there's like a later scene where he says, all I know is that I need to kill you.
Mm.
I don't know why, but I have to kill you.
Mm.
Because that's what they've done throughout history, right?
Damn.
So it stays in them, right? It stays in them. So that's from that series, Bulbasaur.
Bones are full of sin.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in it, in that series as I'm watching it. But it's...
What's it called?
Bulbasaur. Bulbasaur.
You know what it reminds
Koreans
me
are wild, but the stuff they come out... I know everybody likes Squid Game. That's a Korean show. Right. But they I like a lot of the Korean shows that they
is
put
it
up.
The one that, like,
you got to read it, but...
Is it the one with, like, black... they're black, like, spirits or something they're killing?
No. That was another... that's Hellbound. I saw that one, too, but
okay.
That's different. What were you going
to
say?
You know, it reminds me of, just to prove it, too, it talks about... Ishmael's going to remember their nature.
Yeah, Ishmael remember their nature, and you see them living that out today.
Right.
And they don't really understand why. They say they, you know, they just know that Esau's infidel and all that stuff like that, but
right.
Deep down they don't really know that it's spiritual, that it comes from a place of them just being wilding out like
mm-hmm.
that. You know, their hands against every man. It's not even just Esau, they're against everybody.
Right.
Read verse 41 again.
Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
So that's in his spirit to this day. It's in their bones to this day.
Mm.
The sins of his youth are in his bones to this day. Because it says hatred is murder in the Bible.
Right.
Whether or not you physically enacted or not. And we know Esau did that for eternity against our people.
Mm.
And they still do it to this day as we're bringing out. Come on, read.
Verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee.
It comforts him to do it.
Damn.
This guy was intent on doing it and had no remorse. All these killers are intent on doing it. The El Paso shooter in 2019, the one you see here in Buffalo, right? The other one that happened in the black church, what was it, Dylan Roof? That was the other guy, right?
Mm.
It comforts their spirits to kill us. It comforts them. Let's go back to Job 20, and then I want Ezekiel 35 and 1. Actually, let's do Ezekiel 35 and 1 first.
Hey, D, it also comforts those officers, too, because you notice, like, none of them get killed.
Right.
It's comforting to them because people think that car ride may be, you know, them, you know, kind of scolding them. They probably thanking them. You know, they're doing the job for free.
Right. Some of them might be. So watch this, right? Because I said that they have a perpetual hatred.
Mm.
You saw the genesis of that hatred. You saw the genesis of why they're so concerned about being replaced.
Mm-hmm.
We brought out that it would be in their bones, right? Ezekiel 35 and 1. Come on.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 35 and verse 1.
Yeah.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy against
it. So we have to be able to bring this out. Mount Seir is dealing with Esau, Edom. And it says we must set our face against them and prophesy against it. Come on.
And say unto it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate.
This is why they know that they're going to be replaced, that they're going to be supplanted. They know that it comes from God. Come on.
I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord.
Read on.
Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred.
Thou hast had a perpetual hatred. I have a little letter next to mine. It says a hatred of old.
Mm.
A hatred of old. That's the old is going back to what we just read in Genesis.
Mm.
It says a hatred of old. He says, thou hast had a perpetual hatred. and you see it manifested today.
Right.
And you got this lacking self or non self respecting blacks and Hispanics with no sense of dignity and no sense of self respect
right.
talking about love is going to outdo this.
Hmm.
Love is what you do against this stuff.
Compassion.
Compassion. Let's come together and kumbaya over this stuff. Hey, that's not what David said in Psalms 139.
Right.
Come on.
Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity.
Why? We've had different times of calamity. It's not just one. You read in Obadiah and it says at the time when the other heathen were against us, yep. how they helped them. It's even more than that. That was the genesis of it. But in the times of our calamities, their sword. And through history, it was physical swords. And then as their weapons got more advanced, they call it their swords. Now it's their rifles. Now it's their guns.
Mm.
It says, read that again. It has shed the blood.
Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity. Iniquity had an end.
It says, in the time of their calamity, the time that their iniquity had an end. Read verse 6. Can we read verse 6?
Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood.
They know that they're prepared for destruction, that they're prepared for blood. I'm going to show you that in Romans 9 in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And blood shall pursue thee, since thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee.
That's how they're identified by. When it says blood shall pursue them, it don't just mean the judgment of blood that's waiting for them. It means that they're bloody. Remember, it said they'll live by the sword.
Right.
It says because they didn't hate blood.
No.
They love it. They love the bloodshed. They love the violence.
Mm-hmm.
Take a random little Edomite kid, 3-4 years old. All they're talking about is death, death. Oh, I'm going to kill you, shoot you up. You ever see them playing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there's one
Everything
video.
Everything is violence with them.
Yeah, there's one video where a little Edomite boy was like, I want to kill you guys. Well, why? What do you mean? What you talking about? The black lady.
The black lady was like, what? Yep.
Yeah, you look. I want to kill you. I want to murder you guys.
Let me get Job 20 before I go to Romans 9.
Hey, Deke, you seen that video of the little Edomite boy that ran up to the Judah's family door with the whip?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
It was in that video, but it keeps playing after longer.
Oh, you're talking about Dr. Rashad?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see the whole thing. But get Job 20 and now start at start at verse 4, because when I read 2nd Ezra's, because I'm going to read Romans 9, and I got to read 2nd Ezra's. But go ahead.
The book of Job, chapter 20 and verse 4.
Freedom.
Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth?
Right. So he's saying, listen, this is something old. This is something you got to understand. This is something that was ordained during creation.
From knowing the end from the beginning.
Right. Come on.
That the triumphing of the wicked is short.
Though you see them triumphing, though you see them in rulership, though it seems like it's been a long time, it says it's short. Come on.
And the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment.
Read on.
Though his excellency mount up.
The hypocrite goes into, you know how you read in Psalms, is it 2, where it says the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Mm. The hypocrite is those of our people that join themselves to them, all right? They're hypocrites because they turn their back on their people. But the wicked is dealing with Esau primarily and all the nations that are confederate with them. Come on.
Though his excellency mount up to the heaven.
He's the top man in the earth. Of all races.
Dew of the heavens.
Right? The dew of the heavens, it said. It said he would have the dominion. It says, though his excellency mount up to the heavens, come on.
And his head reach unto the clouds.
What? Dealing with space travel, airplane, the flight, flying to the moon, come on.
Yet he shall perish forever, like his own dung.
Like we read in Ezekiel 35, 5 and 6, come on.
They which have seen him shall say, where is he?
That's when it says, is this the man? It's the same
yes.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, they which have seen him shall say, where is he? Those of us who saw the power that this man had in the earth, when Christ returns to invade him, to cut him to pieces with his troops, they're going to say, where is he? Come on.
He shall fly away as a dream and shall not be found.
It's going to be like a dream. There's another scripture that talks about, this is it, the vision of the night. It says he shall fly away as a dream, and he won't even be found, because there's no promise of redemption for him in the Bible. Come on.
Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night.
Like when you wake up from a bad dream and you can scarcely remember it, sometimes you got to write it down to try to get the details out because it fades from your mind.
Mm.
my scare, my dreams that are like that I get scared of, they stay with me, bro. I don't know. Am I weird?
Yeah, but yeah. Not because of that.
Okay. I remember my scary dreams. I don't know.
Read.
Verse 9. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more. Neither shall his place any more behold him.
Come on.
His children shall seek to please the poor. And his hand shall restore their goods.
Why? Because they're going to be in captivity for 1,000 years, all right? They're saying his seed that comes after him, they will the poor is us, the poor in spirit.
Right.
And it says, and his hand shall restore their goods. When it talks about the forces that they took from us, they're going to continually bring in to Jerusalem. Come on.
Verse 10, his children shall seek to please the poor, and his hand shall restore their goods.
Come on.
His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust.
Right. I don't know if I want to read the rest of that. Hold on, because I'm running out of time, and I got to get through all this. Hold on. Jump to verse 18.
Verse 18. That which he labored for shall he restore.
Remember how we read earlier in Jeremiah 50:29, and it says that he'll reward him according to his works? This is going into the same thing. That which he labored for shall he restore. Come on.
And shall not swallow it down.
None of it's for him. Come on. That's why they have to serve. They have to pay for what they did, double from what they did to us. All right?
The true reparation.
The true reparation. He's going to say it. Now he's going to call it restitution. Come on, read.
According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein.
So they're going to serve hard bondage for 1,000 years before they're vanished from the face of history, from the annals of time. There's not going to be no remembrance of him is what that's saying. We're not even going to remember that he was ever there. He's not even going to have that honor to have ever existed. Come on.
Because he hath oppressed and hath forsaken the poor.
Read.
Because he hath violently taken away an house which he builded not.
You know what that house that he builded not is?
America.
No, not just that. Our heritage.
Damn.
The house of Israel.
Where the bomb
because
there.
He put himself as us. He, remember, it says, you read it, I think it's Isaiah 14. It says he sits on the mount of the congregation.
Right.
And he sits on them as if he is God.
Right.
The house that he stole was our namesake. Hiding us. Like you read in Psalms 83. Consulted against our hidden ones. That's what's in store for him. Let me get, we're going to do Romans 9. And let me see where I want to start. We might go a little over. We might
you
go
sure
a little
you
over.
Want to finish this chapter?
No, because
break it down.
Time. It's time.
On
it's time.
Fire.
Break
you're
it down.
Too much time.
I'm
I gotta
like,
cut it.
Hey, yo, I'm like over here writing precepts upon precepts.
No,
bro.
I gotta cut it, bro. It's like it's gonna be mid. It's gonna be midnight for some people. I gotta cut it.
Can you break it down for us?
Romans 9, and let's start at.
It's the power hour.
Let's start at 9. Romans 9 and 9. Let's try to get through this. Come on.
The book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac.
Come on.
For the children, being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls it.
So,
yes.
I'm going to explain this for you, all right? It says, remember, this still goes with the replacement theory. This still goes with this feeling that they have, this hatred that they have against us, all right? It says, for the children being not yet born. Remember, it was two manner of people in Rebekah's womb, right?
Right.
Two nations, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jacob and Esau. It says, though you read later, that he says because of their hatred, he's going to punish us.
Mm-hmm.
That just goes into basically that reason was preordained ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I think I said this on Monday, you know, like when you try to follow a time traveling movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the threads like, you know, because the way it jumps, it don't make sense. Like what came first, the chicken or the egg.
Right.
Right. This whole thing was preordained. I'm going to show you that this whole thing was preordained from the beginning. Right. This was God's master plan from the beginning, before the foundation of anything that he created. All right. And so the reasons behind it were already in place, which is why it'll say because of your hatred, because of what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand that this thing was it was in his spirit. It was coded in him to do this from beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's kind of like one of those things where you'll watch a movie and the villain is so good and so evil that you actually now hate the actor.
Mm.
You ever say that? You're like, damn, I can't see this guy as any other character because he's like this.
Mm.
Those writers that do that, it's like they feel something towards the character that they wrote because of like the atrocities that they do and how they make, you know, the best villains are the ones that are like shock you the most.
Right.
And a lot of actors, one of their things is to play a villain because there's so much depth that goes into it. And you wind up disliking them. So even though this was God's creation, you got to imagine, because it says with long suffering, we're going to read that later, where he endures with long suffering what he created him for. He made him so vile. He made him so nasty, right? That it vexed God's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he brought that stuff. But he knew that when he made him. It wasn't like he made him and he went off the rails.
Yeah.
He knew what he created.
Dang.
So it says, for the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Let's get 2 Ezra 6, and we'll start at 1. 2 Ezra 6.
Oh, like that?
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6. And verse 1, and he said unto me, in the beginning, when the earth was made, before the borders of the world stood, or ever the winds blew, before it thundered and lightened, or ever the foundation of paradise were laid, before the fair flowers were seen, or ever the movable powers were established, before the innumerable multitude of angels were gathered together, or ever the heights of the air were lifted up, before the measure of the firmament were named, or ever the chimneys in Zion were hot, and the present years were sought out, and or ever the inventions of them that now sin were turned, before they were sealed, that have gathered faith for a treasure. Then did I consider these things.
So he's going to tell you, he said, basically, before I started creating anything, I had a plan. You know, it says, in the beginning, there was nothing, it was without form and void.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just freestyle it. God don't work that way. He does everything with a plan.
Right.
You read, it's in one of the histories where it talks about how he had the conference in heaven and all the hosts of heaven were there, and they were like, how am I going to accomplish this?
Mm-hmm.
And this one said, I'll do this. This one said, I'll do that. This spirit said, I'll do that. And then one spirit said, hey, I'll go down and I'll put a lying spirit on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He does things with thoughts, is my point,
mm-hmm.
with planning. But he said, for this one thing that I'm about to show you, the whole purpose of all of what I intended to lay out, he goes, I built everything else based on this one thing. He says, read verse 6 again.
Verse 6, then did I consider these things.
He said, then did I consider these things that I'm about to tell you. Come on.
And they all were made through me alone and through none other. By me also they shall be ended and by none other.
That's like in Romans 9:11 when he says they didn't do any good or evil. Is that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, meaning I planned this thing out. So he said, before I even started creation, it's not like along the way, he said, you know what? I'm going to do this now, and I'm going to do that now. He had a vision, an intention, the end from the beginning. And what was that? Come on.
Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of the time?
So he said, hey, so tell me what it is. Come on.
Or when shall be the end of the first and the beginning of it that followeth?
He said, when's the end of the first and the beginning of it that followeth? Come on.
And he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him, Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau.
He said, that supplanting, that replacement. He goes, that came in my mind before I even started forming anything in the void. He says, this was what I considered. I considered these things, and they all were made through me alone. He says, so before I, remember, it says, and in the beginning, when the earth was made, before the borders of the world stood or ever, and he goes on. He said, before all those things were done that you read about in the creation, he goes, I knew who the hero in this history is and who the villain is.
Hey.
He goes, I set up the spirits the way they need to be set up. You were saying something?
I'll say that reminds me of the Eternals.
Right.
How the Celestial had the plan, but then he told him, I'm coming back for your judgment since you went against what I had set up.
Yes, yes, that's that rebellion, right? So he says, from Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him, come on. Jacob's hand?
Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau.
Come on.
For Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that followeth.
Meaning that this thing, this dynamic between Esau and us, was the setup from before he even started creating anything in creation.
Mm.
He said, I'm going to make, basically, he had his hero and his villain, and he said, this is the stage now that I'm going to build around it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the stage setup. This is the earth. This is everything that's going to be in it. This is going to be the cost. This is going to be what's at play.
Verse 10, the hand of man is betwixt the heel.
Meaning between, come on.
And the hand. Other question, Ezra, ask thou not.
Meaning this was his driving focus.
Mm.
This was his drive. Everything revolves around those two things. Everything revolves around those two things. You read in Romans 9, Romans 13, 13, and let's just jump to, actually, read verse 1.
The book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
What? Because he's the one that calleth. He's the one that set this whole thing up. So he's saying the powers that you see now, that's ordained of God. We read that when we read the prophecy of the dominion that Esau would have. Come on.
Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Jump to verse 4.
Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good.
Minister. Get me the definition of minister. All right. He's saying Esau was set up as a minister of God. He says, for them that do good is for good. Come on.
Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain.
Now look, with the understanding that we have of death, do all Israelites die because of evil? No, it's not always like that, right? We understand some are being sealed, okay? But he says he beareth not the sword in vain. So you got to understand that ministering, God made him for to be destructive. God made him to be that way. That's why the blessing came out it did. Let's look up the definition of minister. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Okay, yeah, I want the verb, all right?
Verb. Attend to the needs of someone.
He made him to fulfill the need of being destructive. Of love and blood, of being the villain, of being the enemy. Was there any others I told you to look up? And who's that someone? Of God. Come on. What else we got? There's another one, I think, a minister. I don't know if I told you anyone specifically. He's an agent. Hold on.
Full screen.
Nope, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. Scroll down, scroll down, scroll down, scroll down.
Verb.
Scroll down. Nope. What about dictionary?
Authorized to conduct,
I hate when they do that. There was another one that I had that it went, but I'll go with the Google one. The point was is that he's there to fulfill a role.
Hey, Deke, if I remember right, at the new moon, I think you went to the synonyms for minister.
Did I?
I think you had us go to the thesaurus.
Well, look for it and see. Read verse 4 again.
Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
This is what he made him for. Now go back to Romans 9 and read verse 11 again.
The book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth.
Right, so that's what we read. Come on.
It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger.
The replacement, what they call replacement theory. Come on.
As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Right, as it is written in Malachi 1, 2 through 3. Come on.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
He said, does that mean God is unrighteous? Damn, that's jacked up. You mean this? He was only created for this?
Right.
No, that's not unrighteousness. Why?
For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Right, letting you know it's all in his will, right? It's not because you're going to pray for your mercy. There's no guarantee. You can pray for your mercy all you want. It's up to him if he's going to grant it.
Mm.
So you can't say it's unrighteous that he made Esau for this. Read on.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh.
So he's going to give you an example and some backstory for you to understand this driving motivation that he had from before he even started creating anything. Come on.
Even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
So he's giving you the example of Pharaoh to let you know that the same way he dealt with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had a purpose, Esau has a purpose. And he says, the scripture says, he said, I raised up Pharaoh just so that I could show my power in him. I let Pharaoh become a dynasty in Egypt and oppress my people so that I can show how I am stronger than any of that power. Come on.
Therefore.
Because remember, I'm sorry, you read every time Moses did one of the plagues through the Spirit of the Most High God, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would say, let my people go. And he would say, yes, 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 okay, after the plague. Each
right.
time, all right, let him go. And then what does it say? Somewhere a few verses, it'll say, God hardened his heart.
Right.
So, I mean, because you would think you saw one of those plagues. All right, you got
I'm
it.
Good, I'm good.
You
I
got
yeah,
it.
I don't want no more.
I don't want that smoke.
Yo, his
go.
People were telling him, like, yo, what the hell's wrong with
God
you?
Hardened his heart.
Let him go.
He was made to suffer that way because God said, I'm going to show you. You know, like a superior fighter will play with another fighter to
right.
to show him how good he really is, to outclass him, right? That's what happened with Pharaoh. So he's saying, come on, read.
Therefore, you want verse 17 again?
18, come on.
Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth.
Some people are meant to be that evil, have no conscience and no remorse because God made them that way. Come on.
Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?
Who are you to question God's ways and God's motives? Come on.
Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?
He says, listen, you're his creation. You don't, the creation doesn't say to creator, why you made me this way. That's the way you made me. Come on.
Hath not the potter power over the clay?
That's his right.
Mm.
That's the way it should be. He has power over the clay to what?
Of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor.
Two of the same lump. Two manner of people are in the womb. The lumps that he's talking about is that from the same father and mother, from the same sexual act, he made two different vessels.
Mm.
One to honor, which is Jacob, and one to dishonor, which is Esau. Come on.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction.
That's who the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction are. Remember, we read in Jeremiah, we read in Job,
yep.
It was talking about what the judgment is for him.
Mm.
He says, I endure all this. Mm. I endure that perpetual hatred. I endure that blood because I made him for that, and I endure it with long suffering because he was made and formed and made unto destruction because that was his ultimate end. Come on.
And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy.
That's when it talks about in Jeremiah where it says that other Passover that's going to be greater, mightier than the one that we had out of Egypt.
Mm.
He says, because the vessels of glory is the house of Israel. And he said, I had a four prepared them unto glory. Meaning what you read in 2 Ezra 6. If you keep reading 2 Ezra 6 as you get down to the 50s, he tells you that. He says they were always spittle. They were always nothing.
Yes.
And as for the other people which also come of Adam. So he goes into that. So that same thought is there. It's not a stretch when you read that to understand that that's what's being brought out. Come on.
Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles.
And, you know, somebody will try to say that means other nations, but if you read up verses 1 through 7, or 8, he's letting you know very specifically he's talking about Israel.
He says it in the next verse.
Right, come
next
on.
Verses.
As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people.
He's talking about Hosea 1 and 10. Come on.
And her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people.
Here in North America, come on.
There shall they be called the children of the living God.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. And I got one more scripture, and then you guys can say whatever you want. I said I wanted to go to Luke 1 so we can understand this.
Mm.
And what that, and I said how that replacement theory, they say it's white elites that are doing it against them and all this and that. No, that we've established that that's biblical.
Right.
Replace means to supplant. This is what God ordained from the beginning.
Right.
All right. We read in 2 Ezra that, and when I say the beginning, He means the beginning,
In the beginning.
Before he even made anything, before he started creating anything, he had this as his motivation as he created, and he built around that. But then we have to understand this. The replacement theory is this for us.
Before,
for them, it's fear. For them, it's, oh,
yes.
Our time is up. Our time is up. But for us, it's us being put back in our rightful place of what God always intended. 1 and 67.
The restoration.
The book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people.
He hath redeemed his people. Come on.
And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
That horn of salvation is Christ of the seed of David by sex. Come on.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began.
Again, there we go. His holy prophets, which have been since the world began. That this thing was ordained from the very, very beginning. Come on.
That we should be saved from our enemies.
He made it this way from before he started creating anything. That we, the Israelites, would be saved from our enemies, the heathen, starting with Esau. Come on.
And from the hand of all that hate us.
And that's from our enemies being Esau and the hand of all that hate us. That's all of them. That's all of them, including our own people as well. Come on.
To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham.
I didn't have enough time to go into it. I had wanted to go into it in more detail, dealing with the oath and the promise and the blessing. If you read in Acts 3, 25, 26, that Christ being for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
If you read Acts 3 and 12, you know the audience is ye men of Israel. Mm. You jump down 3, 25 and 26. He's talking to Israelite men. Come on.
Verse 24 or 74. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear.
Come on.
In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
That's the replacement theory. That's replacement ideology according to the scriptures as far as we're concerned. All right? That's how it's going to go down. So that fear that they have, that stuff that they have in their bones that prompts them to do all that, you got to understand that that's prophetic. That's something that's been there and ordained from the beginning, all right? And that's how the Most High uses them. That's how he rolls with them. We just have to look to the brighter, to the better, all right? And like we read in Romans, let's not forget where we opened up with Romans 13, 11, and 12. It says, it's high time we wake out of sleep and turn away from darkness and put on that armor of light. Y'all got anything?
Got one script.
Go ahead.
Wisdom of Solomon 18 and 7.
I had many scripts, but I didn't want to.
Nah, you can't have.
Are you doing? I had some. You do the Spanish show. You don't do the English.
Yeah. But 18 and what?
18 and 7.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 18, verse 7. So of thy people was accepted both the salvation of the righteous.
So of thy people was accepted both the salvation of the righteous. We know those that are keeping God's laws, Israel. We are the righteous, right?
And destruction of the enemies.
We have to accept the destruction of the enemies. These are things that are going to happen. We got to be able to embrace it and accept it.
So love isn't stronger than hate?
I mean, it says
that. Have some self-respect.
Right. Some dignity.
Have some dignity. Have some self-respect. Stop with this let's love him back stuff.
Mm.
You going against what God has ordained.
Right.
Remember, say, he'll have mercy on whom he have mercy. So the thing formed. Say, why did you make me thus?
Right.
Stop trying to love him.
Right.
Stop trying to love him.
And when you see things going on, it says don't have no pity. Mm-hmm. The eyes should not pity.
Hey, and remember Psalm 139, what was it, 21 and 22?
I hate them that hate
hatred.
Yeah, I hate them I hate them with a perfect hatred that hate God. All right? Anyway, that's the show. I knew we weren't going to have enough time to go.
Yo,
hey, but that's
fire,
why,
bro.
But that's why it's a power hour. Like, we can't – because we can go longer and get and go over all of it, but then, you know.
We need y'all to come back next week.
Always,
that's the thing.
Always leaving wanting more.
Yes.
Always leaving wanting
that's
more.
Exactly what it is.
I wasn't ready.
All praise to the Most High. We appreciate y'all hanging with us this whole time. Hey, don't forget to head over to the Phoenix pages, all right? Like, subscribe. We need your support so that we can get the word out locally where we at here, all right? And all that extra volume on the algorithms helps out, okay? So Spanish on Saturday?
English.
So we Saturday, 11 a.m. Arizona time, exclusively on Facebook at The Lost 144K. We have the Power Hour, all right? That'll be a one-hour segment that's taught by the officers, okay? Lord's will, y'all got some edification from this. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
for the Southern Kingdom. From Yasharala. This for the Northern Kingdom. Viva La Raza. This for the Southern Kingdom. From Yasharala. This for the Northern Kingdom. Viva La Raza. It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we next to kin. We ain't gotta tell Esau that let's be friends, cause we above all nations and we better than them. We the salt of the earth. Hey, hey.